And here it is, today's London Infusion. So yes, London calling. London walks up to bat. David here. A two-parter today. The good news at the very end. Something pretty whimsical and quirky, but fun, a neat connection to start with. It's September 22nd, the autumn equinox. We're passing the torch to the southern hemisphere. The end of the summer that never was. So sure, I'm in a pensive mood. Because tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, stretching out to the crack of March 21st, 2021, there'll be more night than day. That's reason enough for being in a pensive mood. But there's a second reason. Has to do with an article in today's Times. The article's about a preschool in a very interesting building that has a cameo role in my Kensington walk. I'm going to do a full-on podcast about it, the building and the Times article, probably tomorrow. But the mention in the Times of the preschool, coming when my mind, in its equinox-induced pensiveness, was ripe for it, set me thinking about walking tours in relation to school days. And in fact, further back, earlier than school days. When you think about it, the foundations of a walking tour are the two things that more than anything else define us as human beings. They're the two attributes or abilities or characteristics that make us Homo sapiens. We're desperate to master both of them almost from the very first, certainly toward the end of our first year of existence. And we are on our way as our own person, as unique individual human beings, once we get going with these two innate human skills. I'm talking, of course, about walking and talking. Watch any infant. He or she is desperate to get to his or her feet and get walking, and equally desperate to get talking. I used, and accurately, the word infant. The Latin root of the word infant means without speech. Just a momentary aside here. Infant is a very interesting word to accordion out. Do that, accordion the word out, and you get, for example, the word infantry. Do I need to spell it out? If you are in the infantry, you don't have any say at all. The officers do, the generals, the colonels, the majors, etc. They are not without speech. They have a say. A lot of say, if they're a high-ranking officer. But not the poor, bloody infantry. You're in the infantry, you just do what you're told to do. Follow orders. You don't have any say at all. You're without speech. Anyway, back to our walking tour. We walk and we talk. It's as if our first words, mama, papa, dog, cat, peach, whatever they may be, and our first faltering steps, it's as if our first words and our first faltering steps are preparation for a London walk 30 years down the pike. But turns out it's not just walking and talking, as basic as they are. What we also do when we're infants is look at and recognize faces and listen. How else do we learn to speak except by listening? It couldn't be more important that. The world is surely a kind of chaos of sensory impressions to a newborn. What begins to bring some order to that chaos of sensory impressions is recognizing mummy's and daddy's face and hearing and understanding words. The word that crystallizes that phrase, bring some order to that chaos of sensory impressions, is meaning. And as for the recognition of mummy's face, we are social beings, and that's where it begins. And the walking tour connection? It's obvious, isn't it? You go on a walk, you're looking into the face of the guide and your fellow walkers. You're reading them. You're getting to know them. And that's, well, social. So, four absolute fundamentals. But this isn't chiefly about the connections between our infancy and walking tours. It's more about school and walking tours. Thinking about those kids at that school, it's an infant school, a nursery. Thinking about their day, well, a walking tour is really just a grown-up version of the best bits about school. Let's think about what kids do at school, what we did at school. In school, you do show and tell. Show and tell. That's what happens on a walking tour. In school, there's story time. Story time. That's what happens on a walking tour. In school, you get to go on field trips. Field trips. What is a walking tour if it's not a field trip? In school, well, when you come home from school, Mom or Dad sometimes asks you, what did you learn in school today? On a walking tour, you're going to learn some things. Some of the things you learn will be so remarkable, you won't soon forget them. You maybe won't ever forget them. They'll become part of your mental furniture. And sometimes a friend or family member or partner will ask you, okay, that walking tour today, what was it like? What'd you learn? In school, there are special seasons, special times. Christmas, Easter, slightly more opened out today, usually embraces Islam and Judaism, as well as Christian traditions. But Easter egg hunts, for example. What is a walking tour, but in some ways, a grown-up's version of an Easter egg hunt? You look for and find good stuff. Get to see interesting stuff that's hidden away. Similarly, the seasonal activities in December, the excitement, the anticipation, the mystery, the denouement, all of which gets played up in school. Well, those elements, a grown-up version of those elements, come into play in pretty much every walking tour. The guide will say, we're going to get to see. Coming up now, one of the highlights of this walk, etc. Let's think about this month, September. It's back to school time. I don't know about you, but I can certainly speak for myself. September was always my favorite month of the school year. Everything was new. New teacher. New classes. At university, of course, it was new classmates in each course. New people. Fresh faces. Every walking tour, for the walker, is like September. It's all new. It's all fresh. You're a university student. By November, it's all become a bit stale, a bit routine. Never happens on a walking tour. Every walk, it's that first day in a new class in September. In school, at recess, you'd sometimes play hide-and-seek. A walking tour has elements of hide-and-seek in it. Stuff is hidden We seek it out. Think about some of the other good bits about school. Recess. Recess was one of the best chunks of the day. What is a walking tour but a two-hour recess from our normal workaday quotidian existence? And how about that other favorite time at school? Lunch. Yep. After you finish your walking tour, well, you can have lunch if you want. Or tea. Or dinner if it's an evening walk you've been on. Now, let's be honest. School wasn't all champagne and roses, so to speak. Some of it sucked. It had its downsides. Downsides that no walking tour has. There's no homework on a walking tour. There are no pop quizzes or tests on a walking tour. No grades. No trips to the principal's office. You don't have to sit still. You don't even have to wait until class is dismissed. Now, since I'm the guide who, quote, broods over words, unquote, you've already had a taste of that with that little disquisition about the etymology of the word infant, I thought we might end with a quick look at three germane words to the subject matter of this podcast. First word, school. Turns out that the tap root of the word school is an ancient Greek word, skol, which meant, wait for it, spare time, leisure, rest, ease, idleness, that in which leisure is employed. Pretty good, huh? A walking tour is school for grown-ups. All the best bits of school, none of the bad bits. Second word, index, as in index finger. Because there's a fair old bit of pointing on a walking tour. Pointing stuff out. And of course, we use our index finger to point stuff out. We can start by tracking the word index back to the late 14th century. In the late 14th century, index meant forefinger. It came from the identical sounding Latin word index, which meant one who points out, the discloser, the discoverer, the informer. Literally, anything which points out. In this case, the forefinger. The forefinger, along with the brain, the eye, the voice, the feet, and yes, the ear. They're the sweet six, the tools in the guide's toolbox. But drill down even deeper. That Latin word index is a branch of the Latin word indicara. And if you crack indicara open, you get in, meaning into or in, and decara, meaning proclaim. And what do you know? The Latin word decara stems from a late Neolithic. That would be about 6,000 years ago, 1,000 years before Stonehenge. A late Neolithic, Proto-Indo-European root deik, D-E-I-K, which meant to show. And here it comes. Deep inside the word teacher is that same Proto-Indo-European root deik. So here we are, or there we were, last Saturday, outside that little nursery school in Kensington, that little nursery school that's housed in a Victorian morgue. Gotcha. And I point to it with my index finger, and we think about those four-year-olds in there doing show and tell, and we are simultaneously back 6,000 years, a millennium before Stonehenge, was even a dream. And picture this, someone, some Stone Age person, points with his index finger to, say, an eddy in a fast-flowing stream, and says in Proto-Indo-European, "Dick, that! Let me tell you about that." Show and tell. What those four-year-olds are doing, what happens in school, what a guide is doing, what happens on a walking tour. Some 375 years ago, in the 1640s, just yesterday really, an English churchman and scholar named John Lightfoot calculated that God created the universe right about this time of year, the autumn equinox, in 3929 BC, about 6,000 years ago. 6,000 years ago, when our Stone Age individual, one Fred Flintstone, speaking Proto-Indo-European, points to that eddy in the stream and says, "See that? Let me tell you something about that." Show and tell. And for good measure, Michelangelo's Creation of Adam painting, the magnificent fresco painting on part of the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. What do we see? What does Michelangelo show us and tell us with his brushes and pigments and genius? We see, Michelangelo shows us, God's index finger touching Adam's index finger. And if John Lightfoot was right, he wasn't, of course, he was out by 13.8 billion years, that index finger's moment of creation took place about 6,000 years ago, this time of the year, the autumn equinox, in 3929 BC. Okay, you've waited patiently for it. Let's re-enter the Earth's atmosphere. Here's the promised good news. One of the newspapers I read had a big story this morning saying that there are over 300 anti-COVID vaccine projects well underway right around the world, and that as a rule, about 10% of all vaccine projects come good. They work. They succeed. 10% of 300 plus is over 30. Pretty good odds. And when? Well, fingers crossed, maybe in about 400 to 500 days. Be quite a Christmas present for Christmas 2021, wouldn't it? Or Happy New Year 2022. Say too. That's all from me, David, and the London Walks team on the autumn equinox, September 22nd, 2020. Stay safe and all the very best, and come back soon. London needs you. We miss you.